not talk too fast, but I'm going to try to get through these so that there's time for the last presenter and more questions. But and since this is a session on HIV prevention with YMSM, I think I probably can get through some of my data and epi stuff pretty quickly. So I want to just acknowledge my two grad students who are not here but who worked with me on this study. It's still in progress. As those of you who do qualitative research will know, it takes a while. And those of you who have ever recruited anybody for any kind of study ever, you know how hard it can be sometimes. I have nothing to disclose in this presentation for this research. And so this is some of the stuff that you probably already know. We're seeing a new resurgence in the HIV infection rates among young men who have sex with men, and 81% of the HIV infections in the age group of 13 to 24 are actually occur in the ages of 20 to 24. Many and most of the new HIV infections occur among young gay and bisexual men, with a 22% increase in estimated new infections in this group over 2008 to 2010. Estimates of new infections in the U.S., this is from the CDC, are among white and black MSMs by far. And, you know, again, just to point out, though, that I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir, these aren't all people who identify as heterosexual. They're men who are sleeping with other men, despite what their sexual orientation is. A little bit about our little state of Connecticut, just quickly. We are small, but we are fierce. And we have a pretty diverse population. We're nicely located in the city of New Haven, equally between Boston and New York. We're about half male, 11% of the population, about 12% is between 15 to 25, and 81% of our population is white, with 10% black or African American. In New Haven, the HIV epidemic looks the same pretty much across the country, with the highest rates among men who have sex with men. So we sort of embarked on this research project. I have a colleague at Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, and we're really looking at both sites, but so far we've only been able to recruit from my university in New Haven. So at some point I'll be able to look at their data as well. So we are an inner city state university. We draw from the communities within our state. We are about 60% white and 61% female. So finding those men who have sex with men has been quite challenging, but we're still working on it and getting there. So the rationale really for this study was to kind of get some exploratory data on what's going on in this population, and it came to me from talking to a couple of my students who are young men who had sex with men who had just recently been diagnosed with HIV and had found themselves stigmatized in their community. And as somebody who lived in San Francisco in the late 80s and early 90s, and you sort of work in this field for so long, you sort of forget that there is stigma in some of these newer communities or younger communities. And so that piece of it really struck me. So I wanted to go back and see what was going on. I was finding out there was some lack of knowledge in this population, you know, in college-educated young men, about a variety of things. So what we decided to do was go to our campus, because on our campus we have a really good system, a college health system and a wellness office. And I thought if we could get the message out anywhere, it could start here. Maybe not in the communities where they live, but it could start here. So our aims, and it is a qualitative study, we're doing individual in-depth interviews, was to really explore attitudes and knowledge around HIV transmission, HIV testing, and also about their knowledge and use of PrEP. I shouldn't assume, that PrEP is the pre-exposure prophylaxis drug, Truvada, that people are mostly using now, versus PEP, which is post-exposure prophylaxis. So, and then from that information, try to develop interventions that are targeted to this young YMSM population. So we have been recruiting on campus. The inclusion criteria is that they are between the ages of 18 and 26, because we have some students who stay undergrads a little longer and who identify as gay or bisexual and also have had sex within the past 6 months. We've been doing about an hour and a half interviews with them. The interview guide asks questions about their knowledge, again, their testing behaviors, their experiences with medical providers, and their PrEP knowledge. And our team of three has been analyzing the transcripts together using hyper research. So what we've come up with so far, we've had 10 interviews, which is actually more than 6 months ago, about half of that. We have had interviews with 8 white men and 2 African American young men. We're trying to get up to 20 on both of our campuses, and after I was on a session this morning on men's health, I have some new ideas for recruitment. I'm very excited about that. And so what we have found so far is that there's really different levels of knowledge around HIV transmission and about HIV testing. There's also various sources of information of where these young men are getting their information. There's differences in HIV testing motivators and barriers, and really inconsistent understanding between PrEP and PEP. And then the biggest issue, I thought, for me still is this issue around stigma. So what I want to do for the next just few minutes is go through some of the quotes that we have gleaned from these interviews to just kind of give examples of the themes. So around HIV risk factors, again, there's kind of this mixed information. Asking them what are the risk factors for HIV, thinking that everybody knows what these are, right? And of course, we know that that's not true. But doing drugs, having unsafe sex. I know that having anal sex is more likely to cause infection than vaginal sex. Okay. There's a lot of conversation about being a top versus a bottom. So as a top, I don't think I'm at risk, so bottoms are at a higher risk to get HIV. True, but not without. Yeah. Viral load was interesting. There's a couple quotes I did not include, and I could have, but I sort of felt like maybe people would have been uncomfortable about load in general. But viral load, it essentially means how many white blood cells you have, the number of white blood cells fighting off the virus. And someone else said, I think it's the amount of HIV you have. And I think the question's important because a lot of people in the community now are talking about, you know, having undetectable viral load or this, you know, it's going up and it's going down. But without the understanding of what a viral load actually is, may not actually be beneficial. Maybe not doing what we were hoping is being done. This was another interesting area, and I think is the next item on our agenda for doing research is about where they're getting information and what the information is on. So one whole segment was about their medical providers, and that these could be anybody that they've seen. So one young man said, "My doctor hasn't talked about safe sex. The nurse always asks me questions, but I've never talked to the doctor." And another, this is important, this quote, "I haven't seen my pediatrician in a while, and actually the last time I saw him, I was not sexually active." So he did give me the basic statements of, you know, wear a condom and all that, but no testing was recommended at this point. I think some of us that work with this age group forget they're still seeing pediatricians. And not all pediatricians, from last time I've looked at the research, are comfortable talking about PrEP or HIV testing or LGBT issues or even sex. So that's our next research question, I think. And another quote, my provider's never asked. If he did, I would get tested. I think there are other people that you talk to about getting tested, and I think that that's true. We found for sure the internet is their main source of information. I just Google it and go with whatever comes up first. This is asking about their information about testing and about HIV. That's great if it's a reliable source, but we don't know. I'm not going to go through all the quotes in the interest of time, but so Time Magazine, Meet News articles, the internet was very, very popular. And then we asked about their testing behaviors. And we asked them how common they think it is for young gay men to get tested. And these are just two different interviewees that responded. "I can't say that I know, but from the biased resources that I'm coming from, it's fairly often. At least from the individuals I know and the groups I'm associated with, it's something that's done fairly often, especially for individuals who are sexually active." And then the second person said, "I feel like with using Google, it's very easy to find testing sites. Like they can look for it and they can easily find testing sites, but they need the effort to find it." We learned that motivation behind it was really important and understanding what the testing was all about. There's still some confusion about anonymity. And some of the young men said they'd rather get tested either at our health center or the doctor's office versus one of the, you know, we have testing sites, get yourself tested days and things like that, or calling our local AIDS service organization. They'd rather go because they're still worried about the stigma. People don't know about the different testing methods. We learned that, you know, this was startling too, a lot of young men have told us that they have had all kinds of blood work done, so they assumed HIV was one of the tests that they had done, but the doctor never said anything, but because they had blood tests, they figured it was, you know, and they were fine. And so as a former HIV test counselor, I was like, wait, there's no pre-test counseling? There's no process counseling? Wait, what's going on? So I don't know if they had HIV testing. They don't know if they had HIV testing. They're also still worried about having a positive test result, not sure what they would do with that, and the what if this happens to me feeling still going on in this community. So asking them how to increase HIV testing, they really said there needs to be facts. Young men need to know exactly what's going on. It needs to be convenient. It needs to be fast. They don't want to wait for the results. These are things we've been hearing for a long time. It needs to be anonymous. Planned Parenthood was also mentioned several times as a really safe and convenient and wonderful way for to get tested, which I thought I was really glad to hear about. This was interesting, and again, I won't go through the PrEP and PEP. Not every participant knew what PrEP was. They got it confused with PEP. They thought it was a morning after pill, but that indeed is PEP. They really weren't sure how to go about. They didn't really understand what any of that was. They had never heard of the drug Truvada. And I know there's debate about the use of PrEP, and I completely understand that. We just want to know what their level of knowledge was. So then we tried to turn to where should we get the messages out to young men who have sex with men. And again, I think some of this is things that we know. But dating websites, without a doubt, across the board, where young men want to see, there is already information on them, Grindr, Adam for Adam, things like that. So dating websites to use that, and there's more and more people using those sites for education, but I think they would like to see more about PrEP and about testing on there as well. They also really want to talk to their doctors, which I found fascinating because of the experiences they described, but they really thought that doctors and their primary care providers are the ones to talk to about these issues. So sort of to conclude, and again, I come from a background of working in this area for a long time and feeling a little frustrated and sad that we still have these same issues. So how far we have not come, sort of conclusions and implications. And I get it. This is a qualitative study. We've had 10 men in this study. I'm certainly not saying this is generalizable, but it's exploratory. And from what I see, there is a need, and I should say, we've had trouble recruiting, and I'm hearing this a lot. Well, my friend so-and-so is gay, and he would be great for your study, but he's not out yet, so he probably wouldn't be interested in being a partner. We're in New Haven, Connecticut. We have a very small but very strong out population of gay men, both young and not young, and it's kind of just startling to me. So the stigma issue to me is really interesting. I'd like to maybe go using a photo voice process and look into that. Addressing men's health-seeking behaviors in general, I think, not just YMSM, but men in general, aren't always going to seek health care, and that might be something to look at. Increasing medical providers' communication about HIV testing, knowledge, and about PrEP. We know that that's not happening as much as it should be, unless you're going to an infectious disease doc anyway. And the messages need to be accurate and relevant, and we need to use things like social media and dating apps and the college campus. So to move further, we're going to continue this study, but also really open it up to talking to providers, if we can, about their comfort with talking to their LGBT clients, comfort talking about sexual health in general, and maybe find out how to increase that comfort level. And also, I'd like to pursue CBP, a community-based participatory research project with YMSM to really work with a really active group of young men to create these messages and get them out there for the rest of the community. So that's it. Thank you. They did. You mean the ones you buy over, like in CVS and Walgreens? They did. They knew about those. They've never used them. They're not as comfortable with an oral swab as they are with a blood test. That's what I use oral swab, and it's certainly in that packet. They're very clear. If it comes out positive, or even slightly positive, you need to have a blood follow-up test. But I think they're much more comfortable with blood tests. They think that's the most accurate. They thought it was a good idea that they were available, but they didn't trust it as much. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
How do they perceive other people using PrEP, or do they see as a way to have unsafe sex, or how do they perceive?
That's interesting. The interviews didn't get into that, but I was recently at a PrEP forum, and I think that's what the general gist is, that the dating sites now, men will say, I'm on PrEP, and what is exactly does that mean? So you could just a whore, like, what's that? Or are you taking care of yourself? I'm not judging. I'm not, what does that mean? We're not sure yet. So we didn't get too deep into that, but I think that's a really good question.
You mentioned the idea that there was some stigma there. Mm-hmm. Did you think that it was like homosexuality stigma, HIV stigma, or some kind of overlap?
Right. I think it's an overlap, but I think it's about testing still too, because they're still testing stigma, I don't want to go to a place where people know I'm getting tested for HIV, so I'd rather go to a general clinic. But there's still stigma. Think about being gay, and I think that's why I'm not getting... Right, yeah, I think there's some of that. But the two young men that I talked to before we even launched this research project, it was stigma about having HIV, that now they are sort of a pariah in their community because they have this, which was shocking because I felt very, thought we had sort of moved past that. But so that was really shocking to me. Sad.
Yeah. So in terms of the sources online,
right.
So a lot of young men have online on Google, which you mentioned.
Yeah.
How are they saying that their sources are reliable? I mean, are they, yes, they're using Google, but is that leading them to porn?
Right.
CDC,
right, exactly. It's only WebMD they're looking at. Right. I'm not.
Many of them are not as reliable as they should be.
Right. They literally, that quote, I Google it and I go with what the first thing is that comes up, and who knows what that could be. I have no idea. And they talked about something, it's in the quote, I didn't even know what Reddit was, but I looked up Reddit, which is the front page of the internet or something like that, and that has just all kinds of other stuff, and they use that also. So it really is about educating about reliable sources, isn't it? I think it is. And even my public health students aren't good at finding reliable sources, so I'm not sure how the general, like my mother, Google things about health. Mom, where are you going to find these health info? I don't know what sites they're finding. So that would be part of, I think, the messaging of find this information, but make sure it's a reliable source. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, would be itself.
Right.
And we still found that trying to reach the African American mm-hmm. 18 to about 50-ish mm-hmm. Hispanic population was still very difficult. It's gotten better.
Right. That's. That's great.
It's much better now. We're actually able to vaccinate them and partner with other agencies in the city to do testing while we're vaccinating with meningitis.
Wow.
So,
I think that's key.
Partnerships.
That's great. That's awesome.
Are there any other comments or questions? I want to make a really good point. It's interesting that you said that they Google. This is a real opportunity for public health professionals to work with some of our internet or business school people to figure out how do we increase our visibility on Google.
That's so, right.
Great
hits
great
or
opportunity.
Something. Yep. Okay. Great. Thank you so much, Dr. Bennett.